But here we are, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Are you guys ready? Okay, let me try that again. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Here we go. What verse? Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we're thankful again for this time. We're thankful that you are here with us. The Bible is very clear that where two or more are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst. And this is what we ask, that as we are here, that we would again learn from you, that you would be our teacher. God, I pray that you would help me get out of your way and allow your word to do what it does best, and that is to transform our lives. God, it is my prayer that everybody who would be in this service and watching online, that after we're done with our study, that they would walk out differently. That they would walk out knowing and understanding who you are, Lord, and the beauty that we have before us. Lord, you have blessed us above and beyond what any of us deserve. And today we come with hearts of gratitude. And I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to lay down your life for the sake of giving life to all of us. We are blessed, and we want to say thank you. So please, help us right now to learn, to understand, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower us to live out what you're teaching us today, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we get ready to look at these next few verses, I'm going to tell you right now that this has been a very powerful portion of Scripture, and literally, you could probably stretch this out into 3 or 4 studies, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spare you guys, okay? But it's amazing how the Apostle Paul has been empowered by the Spirit to give not only this amazing encouragement, but it, again, it speaks to us today. And I pray that as we go through this, we're going to see some powerful things. But what I'd like to do is just kind of recap a little bit in sharing with us as we began this letter, the purpose behind Paul writing this letter. Even though he did not plant this church, even though he had never visited Colossae, listen, the church was birthed. And as he now is sending this letter, he sends it for 2 reasons. Number 1 is to expose false teachings that are arising within the area of the church. The other reason he writes this letter is, and it's a typical reason of the Apostle Paul, and that is to build up and to encourage believers. And so last week we looked at Paul thanking the Lord for the testimony of these saints in Colossae. Remember with me that he praised the Lord because of what he heard. What did he hear? He heard about their faith in Christ. Not their faith in their own knowledge, not their faith in government, nothing like that. He said very clearly that they had a trust in Christ. And so he praised the Lord for that, and he also praised the Lord for the way that they had a love for the saints. Now, this is, you know, sometimes we can take a step back and go, well, that's easy because, you know, when you're a believer, you love everybody, right? mean, let's just be real. There are some times when we go around and we see people, we're like, oh, Lord, not them. Come on now. We can't lie. We're in church, okay? We're human. But here's the beauty. We're family, whether you like it or not. Whoever places their faith in Christ, listen, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you and I don't get to pick and choose who can be a part of the family. And listen, those people that you go, oh, God, here they come. Listen, here's the reality. Somebody might be thinking that of you. We might rub people the wrong way. We might say something that can offend someone. But listen, we are called to love all of the saints. We are called to love all people. And so what amazes me is he says, I've heard about your love for all the saints, and I've also heard about how the gospel is spreading because of you. And this testimony comes from not because they put a bumper sticker on their chariot or on their donkey, okay? It did not come from them sporting, you know, T-shirts that say, I'm a believer. Nothing like that. How did the gospel spread? These saints were willing to live out what they believed. This is how the gospel spread in such a powerful way. And so Paul now goes from praising God, thanking God for the work that he was doing in and through them, and now he's going to go into prayer mode. And in these next few verses, this is what's powerful. Even though the apostle Paul is the one who's in prison, his heart and his concern is not for him. It's upon those believers. Hey, I don't want you to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. This is how powerful that this begins to unfold for us, because, you know, the tendency is, and I've done detention center ministry for a number of years, and I'll tell you right now, some of those guys that I've come across, listen, they are just looking forward to getting some form of word, some form of affirmation, some form of, hey, I'm still loved from outside. And yet, Paul said, I don't even want you to worry about me. I'm good. My heart is for you. And what I'm about ready to pray is amazing, because he focused his prayer on what the situation is. And can I tell you that most of the time when we gather together and maybe we have a prayer night or whatever, it's very common that those prayers that are on the top of the list are the ones where people are in need of a touch from the Lord immediately. But beloved, let's not forget that a prayer meeting should also be a praise meeting, because God does deserve praise. Because even in the midst of a group, God is doing something that we can be thankful for. And so what we want to make sure is that we understand Paul's going to focus on the immediate need, but then he's also, through his prayer, going to encourage these believers. And I'm going to tell you right now, we all need encouragement. We need encouragement when we're down, and we need that encouragement even when things are going good, because when we get encouraged by other people, what is it really that we're being encouraged about? And it's this. It's God who's doing the work, not us. It helps us not to get big-headed and think that we're doing something for God's kingdom. When we literally get encouraged by one another, this is the encouragement. We just point each other back to Jesus. And we realize that we're nothing without him. And so Paul is getting ready to, again, pray for the immediate need. And then he's also going to encourage them by reminding the saints of the victory that they have in Christ. So the two things that we're going to see in Paul's prayer, verse 9, is to know God's will. And then in verse 10, is for their walk. So he starts off this prayer, and let's look at verse 9. For this reason, we also, because of what I just shared about what he heard, he says, since the day that we've heard this testimony, do not cease to pray for you. This is not a one-time deal. Paul, every time he thought of these saints, immediately went into this prayer mode of lifting them up and placing them in the palm of Jesus' hands. And I just want to encourage you that this is powerful, and I pray that we would do this today. Because what we're getting ready to unpack, listen, we should be praying this for one another. We should be praying this for, you know, our spouse. I was going to say spouses, but that would have been dangerous. Right? We need to be praying these things for each other. For you parents who are coaching from the sideline now. We need to be praying for our kids, for our grandkids. See, all of these things that we're getting ready to unpack is a prayer that we need today. And not only is it going to be an amazing prayer to unpack, but it's also going to be encouraging. And Paul says this, because of what I've heard, here is my prayer for you. This is what I'm asking God on your behalf. So the first thing I want us to understand and know is how Paul says, I'm going to place you in Jesus' hands. And this is the best thing that we can do, because we may not always be alongside one another. But prayer is so powerful that you don't even need to be in the presence. You can lift up a need, God hears it, and God can answer it. Isn't that awesome? So he says here, I want God to fill, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul's petition is for God to fill them with the knowledge of his will. And I want to give a few definitions of some words in this verse because it's going to help us unpack it. But listen, the word filled means a filling out to completeness. Okay? A filling out to completeness, to be fully equipped. In the Greek definition, it also gave this example of a ship that is preparing to set sail. Whenever there is a boat getting ready to go out into the sea, the captain will make sure that the vessel is fully equipped for the journey. Food, gas, supplies, whatever it may be. And it's not just for the immediate need, but it's in case even anything happens, there's a little extra. Listen, I am so thankful that when we get on an airplane, that they have extra gas. I don't know if you've ever been on a few of those flights when they're getting close to land, and then they say, oh, we got to circle around. Can you imagine if you only put enough gas just to get there? Right? To be fully equipped. Another good word that we need to define is the word knowledge. It means more than just a superficial knowledge. It's digging deeper, more thorough in understanding of a subject. It amazes me that when we talk about, again, scripture or talk about God, how many of you believe that we are super blessed to live in the United States? Amen. Right? Whether you believe it or not, it's true. Love me or hate me. And if you don't, we can buy you a plane ticket to the Middle East. See how you like it there. But we're blessed to live in the United States of America. And the reality is that we have so many resources. We have everything at the tip of our hand in a little phone that is a camera, a computer, communication. We have everything that we need to get whatever resources. And yet, why are we so messed up? And it's because there's no depth. There's no willingness to search the scriptures. It amazes me how, again, there's some mega churches out there. I'm not going to drop any names because I don't want to just offend one. There's a lot of them. But there are a lot of churches that aren't even encouraging their members to bring a Bible. They don't even open up the Bible during their church services. And yet many of these church services are being filled out like football stadiums. They're taking what the pastor says at face value, superficial. But if they were to dig into the Word and become a student of the Word, if they were to become Bereans like we see in the book of Acts, they would realize they need to find a different church. And here is what I pray that it would give a little bit better of a meaning. If you were to look at an English dictionary today, some of them may give you a general definition of the word love. They won't go into depth, but if you look up the word love in the original language, in the Greek language, some of you might go, well, there's four. Listen, there's a lot more than four. The four common ones we know: phileo, storge, eros, and agape. Each one has a different meaning. But the more you dig, the more you understand. There's a love for a fellow friend. There's a love for family. There's a love that men and women have for each other. And then there's a God kind of love. See, we know those ones. But there are so many others. But you'll never know unless you dig, unless you get into the word. And this is what Paul, I pray as we understand his prayer, this is what he's literally asking: for God to help them be fully equipped and have a deeper and more thorough knowledge of God's will. That's his prayer. That's a deep prayer. That's a good prayer. And when I see this prayer, listen, the next question that we need to ask is, we need to really understand when it comes to God's will, there is a general will and a specific will. Some of us can just read it and go, oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. Listen, it's like somebody who walks into the service and goes, hey, where's pastor teaching from today? And, oh, first Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 12, or verse 14. Oh, I just studied that. I'll come back next week. Like, oh, okay. I get it. I'm not that great of a teacher, but hey, do you think you know it all? And the reality is, listen carefully, is that when people don't understand and they're just at the surface level, they're going to miss out on what God really wants to do in their life. Because here is the answer to the general will of God. It is God's overall plan for all of humanity. God has a plan. Do you believe that? Okay, that was a little weak. Do you believe it?
Yes.
How do we know? How do we know that God has a plan for us? Because it's in his word. God's word. Let me hear a scripture. What's God's overall plan? Everyone should know this. Rainbow hair, end zone. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. See? Some of you know it. Some of you don't. That's okay. We're here to learn. This one verse describes God's plan for everybody. I want you to let this sink into your heart that God loves you so much that he wants to spend eternity with you. That was very good amen timing on your part. The rest of the church, we're going to work on them. There's some other verses that describe God's overall plan. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in God's sight that he desires all to come into the saving knowledge of the truth. See, this is God's plan. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened the moment that sin entered the world back in Genesis. All throughout the Bible, every single book is to draw us back to how much God loves us. All 66 books of our Bible. God has an amazing love for you and me, and his desire is to spend eternity with you. And so, not only is this God's general will, but now let's talk about the specific will. This is for an individual. It is a calling that God has specifically for believers in Christ. Whether you like this statement or not, listen carefully. God has given every single believer a spiritual gift. And these gifts are meant to build up the body of Christ. And when we use them correctly, not only will it encourage one another, but it will also give God glory. That's what happens when we use these gifts properly. You know, this came to life for me because of the fact that when I look at what God has done and how God allows us to be a part of His work, again, the truth is everybody plays a part. Everyone. You have something to give and how to serve the Lord. We see it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And we also see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1 to 11. And what is so important for us is that we need to understand what God's specific calling in our life is. And we need to lean on His understanding. One of the things that I pray that we would see is that as Paul is praying these things, the next thing he is going to ask God for is not just that we would understand the difference between general and a specific will, that we would know what he wants for us, but then when we know, what is his next prayer? For us or for them to have godly wisdom and spiritual understanding. These two kind of go hand in hand, but let me just give you the definition of what godly wisdom is. Godly wisdom is the ability to discern God's will in a particular area or season in your life. Okay? As God gives us instruction, as we take in His word, God is the one who begins to connect the dots in our life for us to see what He wants. So let me give you an example. Before I came to the Lord, I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. I didn't know, you know, spiritual gifts. I didn't know what God's will was for my life. But when God touched me with the gospel message, my greatest desire was just to be, just to be a servant. I just want to serve the Lord. And I personally, with God, who has given me the gift of using my hands, working in construction, I would have been totally content swinging a hammer for Jesus even to this day. Like when Brody put up that picture and I saw the steel stud framing going up, I'm all like, oh, man. And I know what Brody's going to say. Well, come on out, bro. Right? Some of you don't know this because you guys came in and all of a sudden we had this little remodel going on, and some of you didn't realize that some of that work, we were blessed to have people in the church donate their time, but I'm tired of having back pain because I'm sitting. I got on my knees and I started laying carpet, putting down the baseboard. I tore up this corridor here and I was going to, and my wife was looking at me, she's like, you miss it, don't you? I'll swing a hammer. I have no problem. That's my gifting. Some of you are like, take it, Pastor. You do it. I love watching you work. Go for it. That's not your gifting. Some of us here, the people on the stage, that's a gift. Not all of us have it. Some of us desire it. But it's just not what God equipped you to do. But this gift is not more important than your gift, because we all play a part. We all form the puzzle. We just need to know what it is. Because when we do walk in this amazing wisdom, then God connects the dots. And again, this is how it worked in my life. How did I become a missionary? Not because I thought I could, but the ministry that our church was supporting in the Philippines, a fire happened. And out of the orphanage, there was 30-something plus kids. Five of them passed away because of the fire. And as the word spread around the churches within the United States, all of us pulled our resources together. And all of a sudden, they had a desire to send a construction group out there. That's the first dot. Lord, could this work? Could I do this? In my own knowledge, in my own understanding, no. Why? Because I can't be off of work for 3 weeks or off of work for two, but not get a paycheck for three. There's no way that this is going to happen. But what did God say? Trust in me. Trust in me, and I'll get you to the next dot. And then sure enough, after I was blessed to go on that trip, another dot came up. Sitting down with my pastor, and he says, hey, they want you to go back? What? Are you kidding me? Like, no, they want you to go back and help. Well, if God wants it, then he's going to do it. See, this is godly wisdom that comes along and gives you discernment on what God's will is in a particular area and a season in your life. And if you really want to know what God's will is for you, the best encouragement, the best piece of advice I can give you is get into the Word. You have to discover it. I'm not going to tell you. I could be wrong. But if God is sharing with you what his will is, you better believe he's going to give you the right path. But you won't know unless you dig. If we are remembering how God works, and if we allow, again, not only for his will to be accomplished in our life, we need to surrender. And the first step, again, is to give him our heart. And as we give him our heart, he steps in. And what God does is he allows us to see his plan. And if you don't know this, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says he has a good plan for you. It's not a bad one. God is not in the business of being a killjoy. He loves you, and he desires what's best for you. And some of us don't always like what is best. But you have to dig into Word to know. And I've had several, you know, counselings where, you know, some young adults come up to me and I don't really know if this is God's will for me to get into this relationship. Really? Is that person a believer? And then you hear crickets. I think. Oh, no, you can't think. Because God's word is very clear. Do not be unequally yoked. But I just really want God to speak to me. He did. It's his word. It's his word that's telling you not to do this. Not me. I just read to you from the scriptures. This is his word. But I need to hear from God. Okay. All right. Don't get mad. You see, what I believe Paul is wanting us to understand through this prayer is that when we trust in God, he's the one that brings things together. When we trust in God, he is the one that opens doors. When we're trusting in God, we don't need to jump ahead of him and kick down doors. We just let him lead. And when God leads, you will discover you will be in the center of his will. That's his promise. And so, remembering, this is another important thing that I think many of us or many people today have, and that is when it comes to godly wisdom, for some reason, some people will take the knowledge of God and instead of applying it to their life, they have so much knowledge and they think that they're Bible answer man and their knowledge puffs up their head. But listen, they never do anything with it. That's pretty sad. You have all of this knowledge and yet you're not doing anything with it. And so not only did Paul pray for them to have godly wisdom, for God to step in and connect the dots for them and how to accomplish his will, but then spiritual understanding is this. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual understanding comes because God has blessed us with the gift of his Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The Holy Spirit will then guide us into all truth. He will empower us and give us understanding when it comes to spiritual things. Listen, part of the message today is going to be praying, and I'm going to ask you now to be praying for me, because next Sunday's message is going to be a hard one. Spoiler alert, I'm going to be talking about the Trinity. So for those of you who don't know, good, come. For those of you who know, extend some grace. Because if you'd like to come up and teach about that, then I'll step aside. But here's the truth. Understanding comes because of the gift that God's given us through His Holy Spirit. And when we have the ability to surrender our heart, then this is what we're going to discover. Spiritual wisdom will lead for us to be always a disciple. What do I mean by that? Is that our hearts will never be closed. It'll just be a sponge for more of the Lord to keep teaching us His way. It'll be an opportunity for us, again, to draw closer to the Lord. And so what Paul is praying here is that we would literally always have a teachable heart. You know, some of the scripture references about God's word and what it'll do, I want to encourage you to write these down. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 14. Say it again. Psalm 19, 7 to 14. And then the other verse is this, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Because when we have the opportunity to receive spiritual understanding, this is what happens. It will give us wisdom for today and lead us into eternity. When we exercise that spiritual soul of ours, this one particular scripture says, physical exercise profits a little, but spiritual exercise is for the present, for the time that is now, and the time to come, the time that we will be with the Lord for an eternity. So this is the beauty that we have and Paul's first part of his prayer. The second part of his prayer is found in verse 10. Notice what it says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, a few words that we need to look up. The word walk, this word usually refers to our daily living, the lifestyle that we choose. When it comes to the word worthy, this one's a little bit more convicting. It means, listen carefully, having a relatively high degree of comparable merit or worth. Let me say that again. Having a relatively high degree of comparable merit or worth. So what is Paul praying here? He's praying that these saints would live in a way that their life would pattern a lifestyle that is comparable or of the same value as Christ. That's deep. And then none of us are shaking our heads saying that's impossible. Right? When you think of what he's saying, when you look up these words and try and understand the depth of them, who is it that is able to walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord, that is always pleasing, that is always bearing fruit? And if I were to even ask, I'm not going to, but if I was to ask, somebody raise your hand if this is you, we would have some serious counseling afterwards, right? Because there's nobody who can live in this lifestyle. And here's Paul's point. That's correct. You can't do it. I can't do it. In our own wisdom, we can't do it. In my own understanding, there is no way a construction worker can be a missionary. In my own understanding, no, can't happen. Yet in God's vocabulary, I can do it for you. This is what Paul is praying. And what I love about this, again, it may have caused these saints to go, there is no way that any of us can do this. How can anybody ever do everything right? How is it that we can live a life that is pleasing, favorable to the Lord, and bearing fruit. And if we look at this carefully, Paul's point, again, is to draw them back to the victory that we have in Christ. Because when we look at what his prayer is saying, it is impossible on our own, but with God, all things are possible. So when we look at what Paul's prayer is and what God truly desires of us today, here it is. Beloved, we just need to trust him. We need to keep our eyes fixed upon him. And we need to remember who our God is. And if he is all powerful and all knowing, then he is going to give us exactly what we need to accomplish his will. This is the beauty that we have. And this is now the direction that Paul is going to take this prayer. And if he can, start encouraging them. Because when God does call you to do something, he equips you to do it. How do we know this? Because of what Scripture tells us. What does the Scripture tell us? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. With God, it's possible. Why did he give us his word? To teach us, to show us, to correct us. And there's some of us in this room who need some correcting. There's some of us in this room who think we know it. And all the while, God's word is in the palm of our hand. And we need to continue to dig deeper. We need to continue to just ask God to give us understanding and how to live this word out. The other passage is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. To be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Again, for anybody who steps foot behind this pulpit, listen, we're not to take what is said in a sense of just for face value. Search the Scriptures. This is why I'm always encouraging everybody, bring your Bible. We're going to read together. You're going to see that I'm giving you God's word. You know, some of the things that you guys don't know really quick is this. Our life groups that are meeting now, we're discussing Sunday morning's messages. So now I'm sending them my notes. And the first thing that I hear from all of them is, what is green? What is blue? What is yellow? What does the red box mean? It's like, this is just the way I study the Bible. This is what refers to green. This is what refers to blue. Anything highlighted in yellow is God, his word, his Holy Spirit. It just helps me to stay on track so I don't lose my place. But I'm giving them my notes for what reason? So that as they discuss, they have the references that I share. The scripture references, and not having to go back and keep watching the video and finding out where it's at. God has given us everything, again, that we will need to grow in our relationship with him. But we need to open up our Bible. It is our responsibility to dig. And I will share this, and I don't say it mean, but if you are just here on Sunday morning and you're expecting what we teach is going to help you throughout the week, you're going to be sadly disappointed. You need to get into the word. You need to hear from God yourself. He wants to speak directly to you. And so it starts by us digging into the word. The other thing that we need to understand, what does scripture say about us bearing good fruit? How can we literally please God? John chapter 15, verses 5 to 8. When Jesus revealed to the disciples, abide in me and I will abide in you. If you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. You can do nothing apart from me. It's a very clear example. You take a fruit away from the branch, from its source of strength, that fruit is not going to last long. that fruit stays connected, it's going to grow bigger. There's going to be more fruit that grows from that branch, but it's got to stay connected. And Paul's purpose in saying this is, again, though in our own strength, in our own knowledge, it's impossible, but when God is a part of our life, when God resides in our hearts, he's the one that helps us grow. It's all him. All we need to do is remain connected. Remain in him. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of the things that we have today, what are some of the hindrances of us growing in our relationship with the Lord? Love me or hate me. Here we go. Here's a list. And if you don't like it, steve@calvarysg.com. Okay? Some of us are giving more of our attention and our time to fantasy football than we are to the scriptures. Oh, Pastor, why you got to pick on fantasy football? Okay. Here's another. I got to be careful with this one. Some of us are spending way too much time on social media, scrolling for hours. Why don't you scroll the scriptures and find some good promises of God? Because I guarantee you the results are going to be different. You start scrolling, oh, no, she didn't. Then you get all angry and upset and you go to bed mad. How about this one? Shopping. Oh. Some of us spend way too much time shopping, not just women. Hey, there's some guys out there that are looking for the next Traeger sale out there. Spending hours looking, searching. When was the last time we spent that many hours searching the scriptures? When was the last time that we woke up in the morning and said, Lord, I'm not giving any time restrictions. I just want to be with you. When was the last time that you actually sat there until God spoke to you? Because I guarantee you, if that's happening in your life, you're staying connected. You are allowing God's word to come in and then start producing that good fruit. Because when we don't do it, the flesh creeps up. And when the flesh creeps up, there ain't no good fruit there. We need to remember that God is the one who has made all of this possible. God has given us the ability to say no to sin. God has given us the ability now to understand his word, to take it in, and then to live it out. It's all God. What is our part? Just give him your heart. And when you give him your heart, he comes in and he does what he does best, and that's transform our lives from the inside out. This is what God does for us. The other thing that Paul goes on to reveal as we take in the word of God, it's that obedience that comes, that follows. And it pleases the Lord that he sees his children bearing good fruit. You know, yesterday at about, I think, I don't know, 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I came home and I opened up my Bible and my grandkids were in the room and they were eating lunch, and all of a sudden some worship song came on, and one of my granddaughters, man, was belting the worship song from the top of her lungs, man. It was awesome. It's this sweet little, you know, 4-year-old. Correct? Okay, 4-year-old. It's singing. Not caring if she's in tune, just singing. How do you think God feels when he sees us do it? Whether we sing unashamedly, doesn't matter. Whether it's getting into his word, when he sees us doing what is right, don't you think it pleases him? And so when we walk in this obedience, and again, it's all God and us surrendering our heart. But notice the other results that come, because in verse 11, it says here, not only do we continue to increase in the knowledge of God, our hearts draw closer to him, but verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and longsuffering with joy. And so what now Paul is directing us to, and this is where his prayer is going to start turning into encouragement, because Paul is wanting to strengthen these believers. And it is, again, God's Holy Spirit that we need to know, that we need to understand. And this is where we draw our strength from, because God's Holy Spirit dwells within us and brings us back to this truth. And this is the truth that I want to sink into our hearts and minds today. And I pray that you would meditate upon this all day today. And what is it? The same power that set us free from sin is the same power that God is going to give us to live for him. I'm going to say that again. The same power that has set us free from sin, the way that we now have the ability to tell Satan no, is the same power that we have to live for him. See, there's no more excuses, beloved. God has given us everything that we need that completes us and empowers us to live out his will. When we look at this truth, it is God's power that enables us to do these things. Because when those troubles come, when life issues come crashing upon us, when God is strengthening our hearts and he resides in our hearts, it is his power that will give us the ability to stand. It is God's Holy Spirit that will keep us from freaking out. How many of you remember a while ago that we did a message called Don't Let Trouble Trouble You? This is what the Holy Spirit will do in our life, that even though bad things may happen, even though it may feel like our home has fallen apart, God's mighty power can restore it. He can keep it from falling apart. It doesn't mean that our home is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that some windows may not shatter or our door might be stripped away. But if we're standing in Christ, then he's going to keep us together. And beloved, your family's worth fighting for, just in case you didn't know that. It is so important that we understand that there is power that God has given us to endure, to persevere, and to trust the Lord. Because when we trust him, he is the one who sustains us and strengthens us. One of the things that we need to remember is that when we go through these storms of life, when you look at what James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8 tells us, it's through those times of testing that the enemy would love to discourage us and cause us to doubt God, but God uses them to build us up and strengthen our relationship. It is then that we grow closer to God. It is there that we trust him more. And the more that you trust him, here's the reality. I don't say this to scare you, but this is the truth. When you go through those trials and you stand and Christ strengthens you, listen, the next trials that come are going to be harder. And I don't say that to scare you, because looking at it from God's perspective, these things are meant to build my character, to trust that I'm going to build my faith in Christ. These are the things that God wants to do through those difficulties. So don't back away from them. Don't get troubled by them. Stand, but stand in Christ. And so he goes on to say, not only does the Holy Spirit do these things, but again, when we have the right perspective, what we can see, these light and momentary afflictions are temporary. This place is not our home, beloved. We can go through those troubles. We can go through those trials. Why? Because they're going to come to an end one day. Some of you are saying, well, I wish it would have happened like 3 weeks ago. I hear you. I hear you. It's no fun being in the valley. But the God of the valley is the same God who's on the mountaintop. And he's going to see you through it. And so Paul is not only reminding these believers, again, when we look to him, he's the one that helps us to live this life that is going to be pleasing and honoring and bearing fruit. And I want you to see how he gives us these amazing, again, proof, amazing proof that God has set us up for victory. Verse 12, notice what it says, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I'm going to need to start wrapping this up. This is my first in closing, okay? But it is God that Paul thanks. And it is God that Paul wants these saints to keep their eyes on. Because it is God who has provided a way for us to have eternal life. There is nothing that you and I can ever do to gain a ticket into heaven. It's all because of what God has provided. And God is the one who determines who receives this inheritance. It's not us, it's Him. What is the qualifying? What are the requirements? What do we qualify? How do we qualify? It's not because of what we do in our own merit. It's by believing and putting our faith in what Jesus has already done. That's the gospel truth. And when we look at what Paul is saying here, it is, again, based upon God's amazing love for you and me by giving us things that we don't deserve. Here is the beauty that we're going to see, that not only did God provide this gift of salvation, but what else did God provide? Notice what it says, that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Here's the simplest interpretation: you switch teams. You are no longer in darkness. You are now in the light. No longer are you a child of wrath. You are a child of God. When you put your faith and trust in what Jesus did on that cross, again, because of His shed blood, you and I have been delivered. That means rescued. That means saved. He has cut those chains. We are no longer the enemy's puppet. We are no longer under His control, you know, moving us around as He sees fit. No, God cut those strings. You are no longer His puppet. You know, I'm not going to ask you to go out and buy a shirt that says Team Jesus, okay? But the reality is, that's who we are. We belong to Him now. Isn't that a good day? Yeah. Isn't that a blessing to know that when you put your faith in the Lord, that your destiny has changed from hell into heaven, amen. Right? And when you think of this other amazing truth here, we now have this access into God's kingdom, but then in verse 14, whom, because of Jesus, because of His shed blood, we have redemption. That is awesome. Because of His shed blood, we have now been brought back to where we rightfully belong. And that's in God's loving arms. This is an amazing proof of not only God's love, but how He set us up for victory. Because again, after going through these three verses, notice this: from Him providing the inheritance, from Him changing our position in from darkness into light, from us receiving this amazing work of redemption, believing. Because of what Jesus did, we now not only have been brought back to God, but the last thing He says is we've been forgiven. I think many of us, when we think of this picture of what our sins are, how many sins we committed, I don't even think we can count that high. But I do know this. The scriptures tell us very clearly, as far as the east is from the west, God chooses not to remind us of those sins. He knows about them, but He does not throw them in our face. We have been forgiven. Beloved, I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for this prayer. I'm so thankful for this way that Paul has encouraged these saints, because again, it's not just for them, it's for us. And I pray that we would take this prayer and we would pray for one another in this way. I pray that we would, again, pray for our spouses in this way, that we would pray for our kids and our grandkids, and listen, pray for the church leadership in this way, that we would have more of a thorough and a more ability to know what God's will is for the church. That God would give us all the ability to know what his will is for our life. Let us encourage each other in the calling that God has for our lives. And I also want us to encourage one another. If you ever see a brother or a sister down, be willing to come by their side and pick them up. You know, the reality is that as a believer, there are times that we feel like we get beat up by this world. And sometimes it's not even because of the world. Sometimes it's with one another. The reality is that as we do life together, there are going to be times where we may butt heads. But understand and know that in those times, don't run. Don't disrespect one another. If we live out what Scripture says, here's the passage that I want you to understand. As iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens the countenance of his friends. That even in the midst of difficulty, God can use that to strengthen your relationship. That God would help us to be mature enough and not just bounce and say, oh, I'm upset with Pastor Jerry. Oh, I'm upset with those in the church. Oh. Okay, go. If you go, where are you going to go? Okay, you go down to the church around the block. And then when you get there, oh, this place is amazing. And then when they upset you, oh, duh, right? That's how church splits happen. That's not what we're called to do. As we mature, as we grow deeper, as we understand what God's will is for us and God's calling in our life, here's the last in closing. We together will accomplish great things for our Lord. But it takes us to trust him, to believe in him, and to understand that the power that he has given us through the Holy Spirit is the power that not only sets us free from sin, but gives us the power now to live for him. This is what the gospel will do. And this is how you and I can live that life that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. I want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you for the truth. And it's times like this, God, that I pray that it is your word that will speak far greater. That as everyone is able to go through this passage again on their own, that you would continue to minister to their hearts. It is my prayer, Lord, for the church, that all of us would grow in knowing what your will is for our life. It is my prayer to encourage and to build up the body, to know that we have been, again, set up for victory. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it is there that the enemy was defeated. And we now have life because of the shed blood of Christ. We've been reconnected. We've been redeemed because of Jesus and his willingness to lay down his life. And so we are thankful because of him. Our sins are forgiven and we can be at peace with God. That we now can have the ability to be a part of the work that God is doing today. Lord, I am thankful for the way that you meet us right where we're at. And I'm thankful that you do not require of us to get ourselves clean before we come. You just ask for us to come as we are. You're the one that cleans us up. You're the one that opens our eyes. You're the one that gives us, again, your spirit. You give us the ability to stand. So God, thank you for doing all of this for us.